Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, John A. Guffey, bringing you FMG Live once again on this beautiful, cold, crisp Sunday afternoon here in North Carolina. I want to thank everyone who has been listening to us, our archived episodes. Listenership just keeps growing and growing, and we're so excited to see that. You can always find our archive shows here on blogtalkradio.com and just search for FMG Live. And you'll find us, and you can see, hear all of our episodes from this new season that we started in November of last year, and even some of our previous episodes from 2013. So really looking forward to what's to come, and we really appreciate everyone who is going in and listening to our shows and listening to us through our archived episodes. Just want to thank everyone for the support that you're giving to us on Facebook and for listening to our Twitter feed. That's how you can find out what's coming up next on blogtalkradio.com for FMG Live. So make sure you check us out on both of those as well. A little programming note, we've got some great guests coming up. We've got a Super Bowl show coming up that we're putting together with bringing back our Christian sports analyst, Robert Fowler. Looking forward to that. And also going to hear back from Brother Bill Hicks. We've got some shows coming up, too, talking about diet and talking about healthy eating and healthy living for the Christian. So looking forward to all of those as well. And one shout-out that I want to give is to Faith Music Group, our erstwhile sponsor, Eric and Melissa Nance. Just want to say thank you to them for the support that they give to our ministry here, and if you need studio services, you feel free to reach out to Faith Music Group. You can find them online, and they can take care of all your music and production needs. They run a full-service studio out of Sanford, North Carolina, and they can take care of you. And just wanted to thank them. Tonight, I wanted to talk about an incident that occurred here in North Carolina this week, and the implications that it has, and the broader subject that it brings up. I titled tonight's show Acceptance, Tolerance, and Accommodation, and we want to touch on each of those and want to kind of touch on what the Bible says about this incident that occurred. On the campus of Duke University, which is a private college and university, it's a private university, it's not state-run. It was founded by the United Methodist Church and still has strong connections. There's a Methodist seminary located there on campus, and they have a beautiful, beautiful church. Now, they call it a chapel, but it was dedicated and created as a church there on campus. It's a model of Durham Cathedral that is in England, and it's modeled after that. It's a beautiful building and a beautiful place to go and worship God. I've actually had the pleasure of being there and seeing that building. It is just a building, and but it was one that was created as God's house. And the controversy that came up this past couple of weeks is the university decided to allow the bell tower of this church, and again, I want to call it a church. You know, one of the things that gets lost sometimes, and you know, opponents want to argue about words, and they say, oh, well, words don't really have any meaning. Words have a lot of meaning, and we as Christians need to remember that. And that's one of the things that tonight's show is about. It's about words. You see, I call that building a church. The university calls it a chapel, and there's different connotations that come with how we name things. Because a chapel That means it's not really. It's a place where everyone can kind of come and use it. It's not a necessarily dedicated to one specific religion or one specific, mode of worship. It's just an area designated for maybe prayer or for reflection or something of that nature. But you see, that building on the Duke University campus is not a chapel. It's a church. It was dedicated as a church. It was created as a church. It is meant to be a church. And then we as Christians, we are reminded by our leaders and by our pastors, and rightly so, that the church, when we talk about Christianity, the church isn't just a building. It's not a building. You know, our buildings that we meet in are everything from traditional brick and mortar, stereotypical churches, to giant buildings, to giant auditoriums, to American Legion buildings, to shopping mall rental spaces, to people's homes, even can be where you meet to have church. Because we're reminded that the church is really the people. We, as believers, are the church. But you know, there is something about God's house. You see, that building, yes, the body of believers that meets there, the body of Christian believers, believers in the Lord God Almighty who meet there, they are the church. But that building, that church building, it's a place where we honor God. And the controversy, and I want you to keep that in mind as we talk about this controversy that occurred. The staff at the university decided to allow Muslim students on campus to use the bell tower as a minaret so that they could, using speakers and audio equipment, have their daily call to prayer come from that tower. A lot of people had a problem with this, including Franklin Graham, who is the son of the Reverend Billy Graham, a very well-known pastor and preacher. Some would say America's preacher. You know, you often see him, or in the past, I remember growing up, and Billy Graham was sort of the spiritual advisor to presidents. Not so much anymore. And you know, the Reverend Billy Graham has been ill and is very, you know, he's, I believe he's in his 90s, going on 100. So he is, you know, his journey is winding down. But his son has taken it up, and his son wrote a letter, an open letter, to the Duke administration saying what in the world is going on, and that he was disappointed in that decision. And I appreciate Reverend Franklin Graham for doing that. I think that was a great thing to do. I don't think his response was strong enough. You see, we live in a society that talks about acceptance a lot because they have hijacked that word. You see, we live in a society that wants you to accept a lot of things and says, if you don't accept them, then you're a racist, you're a bigot, you are a horrible, horrible person. You are a discriminator. For example, we're told we should accept homosexuality. There's a lot of there are some scientists who've come forward and studies that come forward and say, oh, that homosexuality is genetic. We know that's not true. We know that it is a lifestyle choice. We know that. It is fact. That science has been disproven. It is a fact. Homosexuality is a biological choice that people make. However, society would say, well, you have to accept people who are gay. I accept them as human beings, but I don't accept their behavior. No more than I accept the behavior of a liar or of a drunk or of an adulterer or of a murderer or of a thief. Now, is this gay bashing? No, it isn't. It's pointing out that their sins, just like the sins of all of us, including me, including everyone, are just that, their sins and their choices that we make, and God does not approve. You see, I accept that God has said, these are the rules, they're in the Bible, live by them. And then people start talking about, oh, what about divorce? Are we going to start stoning wives? And they started bringing up a lot of examples out of context, out of historical context, and create a bunch of craziness to paint Christians as wacky nut jobs, which we're not. We are not. Islam is a religion that believes in a God. They believe in that a gentleman named Muhammad is his prophet. They have a holy book of writings called the Quran, and they preach out of that book and they promote those tenets. The God of Islam is not the God of Christians. The only religion, the only two religions that agree on the same God, and, well, I take that back. There are no two religions. The closest you get is Judaism and Christianity. But Judaism refuses to accept Jesus Christ as God. So even there, we don't see eye to eye. So we're not talking about the same God. So if they're not talking about the God, then they are talking about a God. They call him Allah. That is their name for him and their language. Allah is not God. So if you tell me that I have to accept Allah as God, I say to you, no, I don't. Do I have to accept you, your religion, Islam? Do I have to accept that? No, I don't. You see, that's where our very liberal society is trying to push us. They want to use that word accept. Now, why don't I have to accept that? And why am I comfortable with that? Well, because, you see, God, in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, in verse 3, begins one of the most familiar sections of our Bible. And he lists, beginning in verse 3, a set of commandments. We call them the Ten Commandments. The very first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Period. In the King James Version, there isn't even a period there. Literally, in the sentence, you shall have no other gods before, ahead of me. You shall have no other gods beside me. That word before, in the time of King James, included beside. So there's no other gods equal to or greater than me. That's what God's saying. And in fact, you shouldn't have any other gods before me. That is the Lord's commandment. So if we allow the worship of Allah in our Father's house, we are placing that God before him. That's not what he said to do. The word that we are looking for is tolerance. a very countrified definition of tolerance is, I don't kill you or burn your house down for what you believe. I let you believe it. I don't believe it. Tolerate your presence. And you see, that word tolerance has gotten some bad press, and it's gotten pushed aside for the word acceptance. We can tolerate our Muslim brothers and sisters who we want to convert to Christ, who we want to show that Christ has the better way, that Christ died for their sins. So we tolerate them. We don't, and tolerance is a good word. You know, we've even gotten that connotation about tolerance. Well, I'm just tolerating you, which means I am an inch away from killing you and burning your house down, but I'll hold back. No, that's not what it means. It means to allow it to exist. We allow Islam to exist. We as Christians, you know, and people are going to say, oh my gosh, what about the Crusades? But folks, the Crusades happened. They happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago. I'm sorry that they occurred. They occurred for a lot of different reasons, most of them not good. But those are human beings. And just like people who worship Islam commit terrible atrocities, just like whole countries under Islam want to commit vile acts of destruction, you know, European Christians did it too. It happens. And I'm sorry. Sorry that it happened. It's not a reflection of Jesus Christ. And so instead of focusing on the past, let's focus on the present, and let's focus on the word of the God. The great commandment in Matthew is to love the Lord God, to love the Lord God with all your heart. The Lord God. There's no other God. He is the God. He is the Lord. So when we talk about bringing Islam into a church for the purposes, because we accept their religion, you see, and that's a terrible word because that means you accept Islam. And I'm sure that the, you know, Methodist faculty and their theological seminary would not for a moment say we accept Islam. I don't think they would. So you're not really accepting Islam. You're tolerating Islam. But then you're taking it to the point of accommodation, because that's what they said. That was their excuse for allowing this. They said they wanted to accommodate these Muslim students. I want to point to an example in Matthew having to do with the temple in Jerusalem. There were some people in the temple who were selling animals for sacrifice, because back in those days, the Hebrew people were still under the old covenant. Jesus was on earth, but he had not yet died and been born again. So they were under the old covenant, so people were still sacrificing doves and lambs and other things. So there were people who had gone to the temple and asked for an accommodation. They said, can you accommodate us and let us set up some tables and where we'll sell these sacrifices here so that people coming here to the temple don't have to drag animals, because people would come from miles, you know, all across the entire Middle East would come to the temple at Jerusalem to sacrifice. Some of these people would make pilgrimages that would last a year. And, you know, they couldn't, it was inconvenient to carry sacrifices with you along the way. And maybe you did bring a sacrifice, but you had to eat it. Or maybe you got attacked by bandits and they took it. So you get here and you need a sacrifice. Well, there's people going to sell that to you. Well, because there are people who came from miles around, they had to make an accommodation, because they, where they lived, they used drachmas, maybe. Are they used a silver coin with the, you know, stamp of Darius on it? And they didn't use the local shekel currency that the Hebrew people used in Jerusalem. So you needed money changers. You needed people who would, because you have these people showing up at the temple, they've got this foreign currency. You need some sort of standard there because you're going to sell them a sacrifice that they can make. So you need to accommodate space for these money changers. And the money changers, they've got to make a profit, right? I'm being sarcastic there. They're going to make money. So they're going to charge a fee for this money exchange, for this currency exchange. They're going to make a profit. The people selling the sacrificial animals are going to make a profit. Everybody's going to be happy if the temple will just accommodate us. And then everyone's happy. We'll even give the temple a cut, and they'll be okay too. Well, Jesus had a problem with this. Jesus had a problem with accommodating these moneylenders and these money changers and these sellers of sacrificial animals. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, we see Jesus' reaction when he gets to the temple and he sees this. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So Jesus was not very happy. This is one of the few times where we see Jesus angry. Because I don't know about you or me, but I have to be, I don't just randomly walk into a place and start flipping over tables and chairs and kicking people out. I do that when I'm angry. Well, actually, I've never done that. But I would have to be angry to be able to do that. And Jesus here is angry. He goes into his Father's house, and he sees this mess going on. And he sees this accommodation that has been made, and he is done. He is going to do something about it, and he marches right away. He doesn't say anything at the beginning. He doesn't say, "Gentlemen, could you please leave?" He doesn't say, "Hey, guys, I don't think this is a good idea. Could you possibly maybe move outside the temple and kind of not do this in my Father's house?" No, Jesus does not do that. Jesus is a man of action. He steps forward. He is a God of action. Jesus steps forward and casts them out. He says, "Get out now." Actually, the Bible doesn't record him saying anything until after it was done. But he kicks them out, and then he starts flipping tables. They apparently did not move fast enough for Jesus, so Jesus helped them along by flipping their tables and flipping their chairs to encourage them out the door. Because Jesus, who loved everybody, who died for every single person, was not going to tolerate this. You see, he did not agree to this accommodation for his Father's house. He did not agree to accommodate the money changers. He did not agree to accommodate the salespeople. He said, "Get out," and then helped them on their way. And then he says to them, "You know, it is written, 'My house shall be called the house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." You see, Christ calls back to the Old Testament, and he calls back to his Father's words. And he says, those passages are from Isaiah 56:7 and Jeremiah 7:11. And he says that my house, he says it's written my house. And I love that he uses that word, because that's a little double word there. because he's quoting Isaiah, where it's the Lord said, but Jesus is saying it, so Jesus is saying, my house is a house of prayer, God the Father. Now, there might be some of you that think, well, geez, that's all the Muslims wanted, was to turn the chapel, the church, on Duke University into a house of prayer. Of a house of prayer to who? To God, to the Lord God Almighty? No. To somebody named Allah. To some imaginary being named Allah. And why do I say that he's imaginary? You know, I don't have time to get into all the things about Islam that are wrong and how it's not a peaceful religion. And the fact that they don't accept the Lord God Almighty and his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit as God at all. So there's a lot there that we could get into another time, another place. But Jesus refused to accommodate these moneylenders and these sellers in his house, in the house of the Lord. He didn't kill them. He didn't rain down fire and destroy them. He tolerated them, but he didn't accommodate them. He tolerated them, but he didn't accept them. And when you read the Old Testament, God doesn't tolerate those who worship other gods. And people point to that and say, well, what kind of God does that? Orders, you know, the wholesale slaughter of entire peoples. Well, when you look at what those peoples were doing, they brought a lot of judgment down on themselves. And God is looking at a greater good. You know, the Hittites and the Amorites and a lot of the Ites that we hear about, they practiced religions that were cannibalistic. They practiced religions that focused on child sacrifice. I mean, these were societies that would take their children and, while alive, throw them into a fire in order to appease their God. Well, our God said, I don't want that on this earth. I created the earth. I want that stamped out, and I want it stamped out now. Because every life, every child, every baby is precious to me. As we close out, I want you to remember, think about the terms that we use. Think about these words, acceptance and tolerance and accommodation. Think about what Jesus said. Think about what God said. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No money as your God, no sex as your God, no drugs as your God, no football as your God. Nothing should be your God except me. Yes, we as Christians should absolutely tolerate and embrace with love all of our brothers and sisters around the world, teaching them, showing them the loving Word of God. And the fact that Christ is our one and only Savior from our sins. I want to appreciate everyone for joining us tonight. I'm John A. Guffey, your host. Join us next week for FMG Live.